Good morning. Welcome to Monday Monologues. My name is Stephen Heemstra. Today is Monday, December 13th, 2021. This morning I will talk about examples. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Most magnificent God, all praise and honor are yours, Creator of the universe, for you fashioned us out of the earth, and when our time is complete, you return us to it. Forgive us when we focus on things other than you. Save us from our folly. Bring us back to you. We give thanks for the example of your Son, Jesus Christ, who lived a perfect life, suffered on the cross, and died for our sins. In the power of your Holy Spirit, draw our attention to Christ that we might be made whole again and become the people of God. In Jesus' precious name, amen. In Psalm 115 we read, "Our God is in the heavens, he does all that he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths but do not speak. Those that made them become like them, so do all who trust in them." We naturally want to grow more like the God that we serve. The divine image serves as a template. When we obey the first commandment and make Christ our denominator, we actively grow more like Christ as time passes. This spiritual principle works in our lives whether or not we acknowledge it, a kind of spiritual least squares computation. Statisticians use the sum of least squares principle to estimate coefficients of an equation describing a set of data. That is, they try to minimize the deviations of the data from a line drawn through the data at discrete intervals along the line. This computation can be calculated in multiple dimensions, and the line can be generalized as a curve. In a spiritual sense, Christians talk about using their prayer life to establish Christ as Lord of increasing aspects of their life. This is the spiritual least squares principle at work. If Christ is the first priority in your life, then everything in life is measured relative to Christ like a denominator. If not, then something other than Christ becomes your denominator. Whatever this thing is other than Christ becomes your idol. Being created in the image of God may sound quaint to postmodern ears, but it becomes terribly important in understanding the implications of idolatry, the worship of images other than God. Think of idolatry as a hierarchy of priorities. The first commandment makes this point. You shall have no other gods before me. The second commandment reinforces the point of the first one. You shall not make yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. This is Exodus 20:4-6. Psalm 115, cited above, focuses on idolatry as carved images in pagan temple worship. Idolatry today is a bit more sophisticated. The key verse here is the last one. Those who make them become like them. Image theology implies that we grow to become like the gods that we worship, even if we worship idols. Our number one priority, which is a question of identity and attitude, is effectively our God. Louis Giglio writes, "So how do you know where and what you worship? It's easy. You follow the trail of your time, your affection, your energy, your money, and your loyalty. At the end of that trail, you'll find a throne, and whatever or whoever sits on that throne is of highest value to you. On that throne is what you worship." Idol worship threatens all that we are because over time we become like the God that we worship. Focusing only on time, how much time do you spend each week on activities contributing to your spiritual formation as compared to other activities? Many men spend most of their free time in shoot-'em-up video games, often developed by the armed forces to train soldiers. Is it any wonder that, in spite of the fact that automatic weapons have been available since the 1920s, it is only in the last decade that we have seen a rise in mass shootings in public places in the United States, unrelated to any political or economic agenda? Intensive activities form us and become part of our identity. Spiritual formation is not the only formation that takes place. Poor formation leads us to worship idols that let us down. When our idols crash, we experience an existential crisis because we must completely reorganize our priorities, which is never easy. Consider what happens if your number one priority is work and you lose your job. In spite of record low unemployment, anxiety, depression, drug addiction, and suicide are at record levels in the United States and have contributed to a decline in life expectancy. Amidst this high level of suicide, two age groups stand out: young people under the age of 30 and older white men, a group not historically prone to suicide. Among young people, the typical reason for attempting suicide is a broken relationship, idolizing a person. Among older men, the typical reason is a lost job, workaholism. Both problems suggest a tie to idolatry. Death by suicide is just the tip of the iceberg, according to Mason. Based on large national surveys, for every 14 suicides per 100,000 people each year, approximately 500 people attempt suicide, and 3,000 think about it. If psychiatric problems, such as addiction, anxiety, and depression, have a spiritual root, then talk therapy and medication can only ease the pain. They cannot solve the problem. A problem requires dealing with the root cause. May defines addiction as a state of compulsion, obsession, or preoccupation that enslaves one's will and desire, and specifically relates it to idolatry. Deviations from the divine image lead us to places where we do not want to go, doing evil, practicing perversity, or becoming insane. As a practical matter, the spiritual least squares principle demonstrates how to be a whole person, because we are created in the image of God. There are an infinite number of ways to be broken, the biblical metric called sin. There exists only one way to be made whole. Recognizing God as our template puts us on the path to restoration of our true identity. As Christians, we do not focus on the evil, perversity, and insanity of life, but on their antidote. We focus on Christ. As the Apostle John wrote, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is John 3:17. Because we are created in the image of God and are commanded to love him and only him, God's jealousy is part of his care for us. The Jewish daily prayer, known in Hebrew as the Shema, or the name, goes like this: "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might." This is Deuteronomy 6:4-5. Loving God above all else also serves to vaccinate us from some serious problems. Well, that's all for today. Thanks for listening. God bless. Bye-bye.